Would you take your Bibles and turn to 1 Peter, please? 1 Peter chapter 2. And as promised, ladies, we are not addressing submission to husbands today. If you're tracking with us during this series, you know that that's the next section coming up. And you must come back next week, ladies. I don't want any excuses. I don't want to hear about it. But I am thankful as we were working through this, and I do have a schedule when I'm working through a book that I believe will follow, but there are times when things happen or, you know, don't cover as many verses as I planned, and so the schedule's a little bit fluid, and I was a little nervous over the last few weeks that we're actually going to land on 1 Peter chapter 3 on Father's Day. Now, I purposely did not slow down, just so you know, I did not slow down, but I am thankful that we are in the passage today in verse 18, and we have been talking about the idea of submission as a whole. And so we're not really off the hook this morning because we have found out that one of the main responsibilities of a believer in the world in which we live in, if we want to look like Jesus, and last week we talked specifically about following in the footsteps of Christ, if we want to look like Jesus, our lives will be that of submission. You really can't argue with it in Scripture. And submission is something that hits on so many areas of our life. We don't like to submit. We come into this world really with a rebellious streak. And by God's grace, when we come to know Jesus, that rebellious streak hopefully gets less and less, and we look more like Jesus as we progress in our sanctification. But still, we're always in that place of warfare in our hearts. When someone tells us what to do, are we going to follow through, submit and obey, or are we going to resist? And in verse 13, it tells us, submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every human institution. Again, that's every man-made institution or order of structure, authority in life, that is established in the time and place that you live. We are supposed to submit ourselves. And the motivation behind this action is for the Lord's sake. It's so that God will be glorified in our lives. And we spent a couple weeks discussing how that plays out in regards to the government and really navigating the very complex system that we have in America, where there are multiple authorities, starting with our Constitution, all the way down to local governments. And what do you do when those voices conflict? Because many times they do. How do you respond? And we have another situation this week as we discuss the workplace and how does God want us to respond? And maybe you have multiple voices of authority in your work scenario. And how do you, when those voices conflict, how do you, you know, manage that situation and how do you respond appropriately? Maybe you just have one particular very difficult boss in your life and you think that it's your boss's agenda to make your life miserable. And so you are constantly in a situation where you have to choose, will I submit or will I resist? And so we have here in verse 18, if you would look there, it says, servants, be submissive to your masters with all respect, not only to those who are good and gentle, but also to those who are unreasonable. It's a pretty big part of this passage. For this finds favor if for the sake of conscience towards God, a person bears up under sorrows when suffering unjustly. For what credit is there if when you sin and are harshly treated, you endure it with patience? But if when you are doing what is right and suffer for it, you patiently endure, this finds favor with God. Again, God is the central person in all of these texts. We must come to the Scripture with a God-centered perspective. What does God want from my life? Not what do I want the Scriptures to say that will make me feel better. That does not stand. We must take the Scriptures for what they say. And the Scriptures are very clear that we are supposed to submit for the Lord's sake. It finds favor with God when His children submit to people who are not very kind, people who are unreasonable, people who don't fit the category of good and gentle. We must still, for the Lord's sake, because it finds favor with Him, we must go low. And that's the life of submission. Really, resigning the fact that I have no rights and I submit myself to a glorious God who has everything under control, and many times that's these very difficult circumstances that I feel right in this moment that are actually bringing a lot of sorrow and hardship to me. Will we submit? Now, as we start here, I want to just talk a little bit from just a big picture Christian perspective. When we have the idea of slavery or servants in the Scripture, there are different things that are discussed, and we'll hopefully go through some things today that will be helpful for you. But from a big picture perspective, the idea of being a servant is something that is constant through the Scriptures. In fact, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9:19, "For though I am free from all people, I have made myself a slave to all so that I may win more." I realize in our current culture and context, the idea of being a slave or slavery brings a lot of negative connotation. And I want us to be able to, with discernment today, work through a number of these things. But again, going back from a big picture, biblical perspective, Paul says, "I am free from all people. However, what I am choosing to do is become lower than people. I'm willing to take upon myself the position of being a slave so that he could have an influence for the gospel. It was more important to Paul that he reflect the life of Christ because, as we looked at last week, that's exactly what Jesus did. He laid down all of his rights. He came in the form of a servant. He endured all the hardship, all the way to the cross, and he glorified his Father through the process, and he finished the course that he came and was set to do. And so Paul here, like Jesus, takes that same path and says, you know what? I am free, but I choose to live different. I choose to live in a way that puts me beneath people, so that I don't do anything that will offend or cause people to be hindered in hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news. Now, that's very important to understand in the big picture of Christianity. Are you willing to live like a bondservant of Jesus Christ? Are you willing to say, yes, I don't have to really submit to anybody from maybe a human perspective, but because God is my Father and I want to for His sake, and because I want to find favor in His eyes, I am willing to take upon my life this position so that I can have an influence for the gospel's sake. Unfortunately, there's a lot of voices in Christianity over the last 50 years or so that have said, you know what, I can do whatever I want, whenever I want, and it doesn't matter because I'm under grace. And while that's true, from a very slanted view of the Scripture, I think other passages of Scripture bring light to your freedom. And actually, we are called to live in constraint, under constraint, for the sake of honoring Jesus Christ. And again, it goes back to that idea, am I willing to submit to God? Am I willing to submit to God? Now, as I mentioned, slavery in that idea of being a slave in our context is very, very difficult to even really breach the subject. And there is a distinction between the day in which Peter was writing and the day in which we have kind of our current you know, some 200 years ago, but our current, from a big picture timeline, struggle with slavery in America. So I want to just make sure that we do understand the difference. There were some similarities because of the depravity of man. There's always going to be. In fact, I read a really great article that kind of traced back slavery and racism from really, you know, the beginning of time. And it's amazing how one civilization after another, these things came to the surface because of the depravity of man. And you could see how these things were a part of pretty much all of history. But when Peter was writing this to this group of people in Rome, you had a very significant part of the population would have fallen under the category of a slave. And it was different than what we have experienced here in America. I would put all of what was experienced here in America as kidnapping and wrong and sinful and evil. And so while that was a little bit part of the Roman culture, as I mentioned, because of depravity, it was a little bit different because there were times when people would actually submit themselves in a situation where they knew they were going to be taken care of. They would submit themselves as under someone else, knowing that if they worked, they would be provided for and their family would be provided for. And it was actually a very good situation. As we see in this text, that there are some masters who were good and gentle. In the time of Rome, around this time, some say 70% of the population, get that number, 70% of the population would have fallen under the category of being some form of servant or slave. In that day and age, that would equate to about 60 million people. Right? So, big picture, as far as slavery is concerned, in this day, there were situations that, because of the society structure, that's how it was organized. And Peter, in this moment, is not saying, you know what, run away, do whatever you want, rebel. He's actually saying, in the context in which you're living, where you find yourself under the sovereign hand of God, you need to submit to your masters. Now, there are different things said in the scripture about slavery in the Old Testament and New Testament. Sometimes it was looked on favorably. The children of Israel were slaves. There were those. Joseph was put into slavery for a while. Onesimus in the New Testament. There are different situations where these people were not looked down upon in the from a biblical perspective. They were actually respected. Joseph is a very respected individual in the scripture. He was unfairly put into slavery. But as a person, he was respected and God was sovereignly working in his life and doing all kinds of things. You know, in our country, we just celebrated yesterday, Juneteenth, and we have, you know, really a celebration of the elimination of what I would call unbiblical activity. And again, as I mentioned, what was experienced here would fall under the kidnapping category and completely evil and wrong. And so just the idea that 156 years ago in our own country, as was celebrated yesterday, the last slaves, it's not when it was abolished, but the last ones found out. 2 years after they had freedom, they found out that they were free. And so the celebrations took place. And that's right. And it's good to see that because Scripture does condone. In fact, it tells us in the Scripture, in the list of sins in 1 Timothy, that kidnapping is against sound doctrine. And so we have, even in our own country, even though it's not legal, we have young people, young girls, young boys who would fall under the slavery category, and they're being forced to do things that are ungodly and they're evil. And whatever we can do to eliminate that and stop that is appropriate and it's right. And it happens around the world. But in this situation where Peter is talking, I just want to make sure that there's a little bit of a distinction. Not all the situation was evil and wrong in the context that Peter is writing in. And so for us then, how do we take this passage and apply it to our lives in a very different social structure, in a very different context, in a very different situation? Most people who study God's Word, scholars would say the equivalent to what Peter was talking about is in the workplace in which we find ourselves, many of us. Some of you are retired and you don't have to worry about this. But many of us are still in the workplace. And so there is some application here for where we find ourselves on a daily basis. So let's go back to the text in verse 18. With all these things in mind, it says, "Servants or workers, be submissive to your masters with all respect, not only to those who are good and gentle, but also to those who are unreasonable." So our submission, that's the action that's required. The action required is that we submit to our bosses, our authority, those who are above us in the workplace. This is not an option for a Christian. This is what we should do. Now, if your boss tells you you have to do something that would go against the specific will of God that is revealed in the Scripture, we've already talked about this, we always say we're out. We stand for truth. So if you have an authority figure who asks you to lie on a spreadsheet, to do whatever you can to manipulate a situation, to kind of fudge on the ethics of decision making in a business context so you can land the deal, all of those things are out of bounds. They're wrong. Stand for right. Do, you know, truth always wins in that moment. You may get fired, but truth always wins. But in a situation where it's just the person who's giving the responsibility or giving the command or giving the order, and you're sitting there like, this person, they fall under perhaps the unreasonable category. They fall under the harsh category. And you have to wrestle with your flesh. How am I going to live out the gospel in this context? Am I going to honor Jesus? And what does that look like? I think it's crystal clear from this text. Honoring Jesus, finding favor in the workplace, means that you say, okay, I will do what you ask me to do. Your attitude I don't care for, I wouldn't suggest saying these things, but your attitude I don't care for, your personality I really don't like, not much about your life that I really find, you know, inclined toward. However, I will obey. You're not asking me to cross any of my lines of conviction that are founded in the Word of God. You're not asking me to go against what I believe in my heart. It may be that it doesn't fit what you think you deserve, that, you know what, okay, my boss is requiring me overtime this weekend, and I actually had some things planned. I wanted to play a little golf, this and that. So that's kind of where the rubber meets the road. It's like, but I have my rights. I'm only getting paid or compensated for a certain amount of time. How do I live out the gospel in moments when it's difficult and hard? According to our instruction this morning, the action that's required is you say, okay. You say, I'll submit. Now, I would go a step further. I think the Scripture as a whole would say, do it with a happy heart. But we're going to start with just what we have in this text as okay. I will do it. I want to find favor with my Lord. And it's for His sake that I will say yes to your request. Servants, be submissive. It doesn't matter the situation you find yourself in as far as the personality or how your authority approaches the subject. Because there's a couple different things here described. There are those who are good and gentle. We like those kind of bosses. We like those kinds of people who are in authority. People who are good and people who are gentle. And it's much easier to say yes. But our submission and our action that we're going to participate in and follow through and obey, that is based on, will we honor God even if the boss is harsh, mean, and unreasonable? So that is the action that is required. And I would say there's as well, number two would be an attitude that is required as well. And what is that attitude? It says, with all respect. With all respect. We've already talked about honor a little bit in verse 17. Honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. So we kind of hit a similar vein recently when we discussed the idea of what if the government authority is not your favorite person? You're still responsible to honor that position. And there's a lot of real application in our context that can be made in everyday life with honoring authority that you don't like. And we have the same perspective, the same attitude that Peter is calling on in the situation of the workplace. With all respect, we should view them as a person created in the image of God, yes, marred by sin, and it may be real clear from the way they act towards you. But they are still made in the image of God. They fall under the category of all people, and so therefore, I am responsible and required to honor them. Even when it is difficult. And I keep going back to the fact that Jesus set this very example. And we talked in detail last week about what that looked like. All the way to the end of his life, he did not respond and retaliate. He did not try to manipulate the situation so that he would win. He actually kept going low. He stayed humble. And he honored his Father through his process of submission. The attitude that we must display is one of humility and kindness. I try to communicate to my kids all the time, you will never regret being kind. We must say that multiple times in 1 week. You will never regret being kind. You know how many times in life, you probably have experienced this as I have, where you regret what you have said. You were in a situation and you had opportunity to either control your mouth or not say anything at all, but then you decide, oh, I'm going to say something. And then you had opportunity to say something that was helpful to the situation, something that would build, something that was kind. And actually, you took the other opportunity, which is something that would tear down and be hurtful and be negative. And how many times does that happen? And that can happen in a work situation. When you're feeling the weight of a cruel authority or an unreasonable boss, you can do what you're supposed to do, but the attitude in which you go about it and how you treat that person really can nullify your glorification of God. The whole reason why you're saying yes is for the gospel, so that God will be glorified, and then you mess it up by the attitude in which you portray through the process. If we want God's favor, we do what we're supposed to do, and we do it with an honor, an attitude of honor and respect, so that it does actually glorify God through the process. Now, Peter clarifies here. There are sometimes situations you deserve it. You deserve the punishment that you're feeling or the situation, he says in the text there. If you do what is right, and you're suffering for it, then you have a case, right? And you still have to submit and honor. But if you're actually doing what is wrong, look in verse 20. For what credit is there if when you sin and are treated harshly, you endure it with patience? You're getting what you deserve. So there's some helpful things here in regards to how we operate within the workplace. We make wise choices. You're not going to be perfect. But if you're the kind of employee that really is not showing your desire to honor Jesus through your performance. So basically, you're just kind of checking in and checking out. You're really just kind of going through the motions. You look and you act like you just want the paycheck, like you're just there to put in your time. If that's the kind of person you are, or maybe you actually make mistakes and you're doing things that are hurting the company or hurting the organization, of course someone's going to come down on you for that. You should not be surprised, and you shouldn't really count it as, you know what, I'm just suffering so much here. That's your own fault. Do right. Honor Jesus in your work. Have an ethic about your life that you see that I am called for a bigger purpose than to just live and operate. I'm actually called to portray Jesus and glorify God, and so that affects every part of my life. And people see it in the workplace. But don't be surprised if you blow it and you make mistakes and you feel someone coming down on you. But it's when you don't make mistakes, when you are striving to do what's right, when you are trying to please Jesus, it's in that moment that verse 19 says, this finds favor with God. As well in verse 20. And that's the last thing I just want you to understand as we kind of wrap up this morning. The approval of God comes in our submission and in our respect. It says there very clearly, this finds favor with God. Do you want to please your Heavenly Father, who is a good Father, who has done so much for you, who daily grants you new mercies and forgiveness and compassion and love and provision? You can actually find favor in His eyes, approval of God, if you will take upon yourself the form of a servant, live this out in the specific areas that God calls you to, even if it's difficult and hard. You can live like a servant. You can please Jesus. It finds favor with God. Colossians 3:17 says, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord. It's pretty difficult to do something in the name of the Lord when you're rebelling. When you're saying, I'm not going to do that. Your boss leaves the room and you just don't do it. Maybe your boss never finds out, but God does. God knows. Whatever you do, 1 Corinthians, whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. So practical Christian living. Many times we complicate it so much, and the scripture is so clear. Why? Because it touches on compartments that we don't like. So we'll say, God, I love you, and I'm here, and I'm worshiping you on Sunday. And then we walk into work with our bad attitude and our resistance to authority. And we live that way throughout the week, and we come back to church, say, God, I love you, and I want to worship you. It touches every compartment. Our discipleship. Follow in Christ's steps. It's not just the steps on Sunday. It's every step in between. even when it's hard, even in an unreasonable situation, when you've done nothing wrong. I know someone this week who was let go from their job after several years and over 20 years in the industry. And for what this person can tell, they didn't do anything wrong. It's in those moments that we have choices, opportunities. God, I know you're a good father, and I know you're sovereign over everything. And so in this moment, help me respond in a way that looks like Jesus. Help me to submit to your providence. Now that's the far end of the spectrum. Hopefully you're somewhere still with the job. But maybe the Holy Spirit wants you to kind of make some tweaks in your actions that are very clear and it is required, but also in your attitude towards the people who are asking you to do whatever it is that they desire. And again, it goes back to our motivation. What do I live for? I want to live for God's approval. This finds favor with God. I want Him to be pleased with my life. So I will submit, I will go low, and I will love people through the process. Would you bow with me as we close our time this morning? I really don't think you can argue with this section of the scripture. The action required is submission. The attitude that's required is respect. And the approval given is favor with God. And that's God's combination. That's His will. It's His truth. And I think I can confidently say that you do it His way, you will be blessed. It may not be in the exact way that you want, financially, maybe circumstantially within the office, but I'm pretty sure when God says this will find favor in my eyes, I'm pretty sure He means that He's going to take care of you. And so would you just respond this morning? Appropriately to God's word. God, I want to go low in my life. I want to please you. So help me to continue to submit. God, we've assembled once again because you ask us to. We meet together on a weekly basis. And we assemble around you. You're at the center of our worship. And we want your word to be lifted high. And what I think that means in your eyes is that we actually take the truth that we read and study and learn from, and we apply it to our lives as we go from this place. So I do ask that you would accomplish your purposes by your Spirit to change us to be like Jesus. And I pray that we will, as a church family, go into the workplace this week, really showing your glory and finding favor in your sight. Lord, strengthen and grant patience to those who are in a very difficult spot. That even though they're not doing anything wrong, they're being mistreated and they are truly suffering. Lord, for those who perhaps have made some mistakes, help them to be humble and admit and accept the consequences and be willing to make a turn in their life and glorify you. And Lord, I pray that you will just help us during these days of 2021 to be a people who love your glory so much and love your gospel that we will do whatever it takes to honor you. God, we ask for these things in your holy and precious name, I pray. Amen.